Chapter 2.
Big Brother, this is not one of your best ideas. You're forgetting you've been off the radar for 2 years, Uncle Jake said when he returned from the train. Most people think you and Veronica are dead. Your apartment was sold, you don't have a job, you've got a mountain of paperwork to go through before you can get at any of your money, and if you were smart, you'd steer clear of that caseworker and the Board of Child Welfare until you can prove that you and Veronica are really the girl's parents. All of this will take weeks to sort out. Come back to the house. We can help.
He makes a good point, Henry, Veronica said. Maybe we should stay put until we get everything settled.
Henry shook his head stubbornly.
Getting out of Ferryport Landing is more important than all those details. We'll manage.
Granny Relda's face fell. She looked on the verge of tears. Sabrina had never seen her so upset.
But, Henry...
It's not open for discussion, Mom, he said sharply.
Sabrina's mom frowned but kept her tongue. Everyone else looked uncomfortable. The group trudged up the embankment quietly and found the family's ancient car parked nearby. A quart of oil had leaked onto the sidewalk beneath its engine, and a mysterious green fluid was seeping from the muffler. The old jalopy was a collection of ill-fitting parts from dozens of different car models, and maybe a tank. Its best days were behind it, if it ever had best days. Now it looked like a wounded animal waiting for the grim reaper to come and put it out of its misery.
Did you all come in this car? Sabrina asked,
looking around for another vehicle.
This old rust bucket is big, but you couldn't fit everyone and the bears inside, even if you squeezed.
That was my doing, Uncle Jake said with a grin.
He reached into one of his many jacket pockets and took out a small wooden box. Inside was a green dust that spun like a tiny hurricane. Daphne's eyes lit up with wonder.
What's that?
It's called stretching powder. Sprinkle a little of this on anything, and you can make it as big or as small as you want. I blew a handful into the inside of the car. It's big enough for a whole forest of bears now.
Gravy,
Daphne said, eyeing the green particles.
Gravy? Sabrina asked.
It's my new word. It means something is cooler than cool, Daphne said,
turning her attention back to Uncle Jake.
Where did you get it?
This is one of the first magical items I ever collected. Picked it up from the little old woman who lived in a shoe. She used this to get all 70 of her rugrats inside an old penny loafer.
Henry snatched the box from his brother, shut the lid, and stuffed it into one of Jake's pockets.
I'd prefer you kept your magic away from the girls. It's dangerous, and I don't want them anywhere near it.
Dad, we're old pros with the magic stuff, Daphne said. We use it all the time.
Henry glared at his mother.
I'm getting pretty good, too, Daphne continued,
completely oblivious to Henry's rising temper.
In fact, I have my own little collection of wands and rings, just like Uncle Jake.
Henry's face turned as red as lava exploding out of a volcano.
You are 5 years old. You shouldn't be anywhere near magic. You'll hand it all over to me when we get back to the house. None of this nonsense is going back to New York City with us.
Dad, I'll be 8 in 2 weeks, Daphne said.
Henry looked at his daughter as if she were speaking ancient Greek. And Daphne looked like she had just been slapped. Sabrina knew firsthand how insulted her sister could be when she was treated like a baby. She herself had created a deep emotional chasm between them by not respecting Daphne. Only a few days before, she had betrayed her sister, stealing a magical item she felt Daphne was too young to possess. Now they were barely speaking.
Maybe we should go,
Goldilocks said with a forced smile. She opened one of the rusty car doors. Sabrina and Daphne climbed inside as an orchestra of springs and joints cried out for mercy. The stretching powder had done just what Uncle Jake claimed it would do. The interior was enormous, even bigger than Granny Relda's living room. They could have shared the car with a football team and would still have had plenty of room for everyone. Red, Goldilocks, the Bears, Elvis, Puck, Granny Relda, Uncle Jake, Henry, and Veronica piled inside.
Veronica took a seat between her daughters and hugged them both.
So, what have we missed?
Granny shifted uncomfortably.
Oh, where do we begin? Well, I've been training the girls in the art of detection, and...
You knew I didn't want them in this town, Henry interrupted.
I couldn't leave them in the orphanage. They've been perfectly safe, Granny said.
Sabrina laughed, and the entire family turned to face her. You disagree? Henry asked her.
Sabrina felt Granny's betrayed eyes on her. No.
Sabrina, if you have something to say, I'd like to hear it, Henry demanded.
She tried to stay quiet, but the truth spilled out anyway. Well, we were attacked by Jack the Giant Killer, then nearly stomped to death by an army of giants. Rumpelstiltskin heightened my emotions, then fed off the anger like I was an all-you-can-eat buffet. Then he nearly blew us up in some underground tunnels, but not before he sent a bunch of half-monster children to kill us. We were nearly devoured by the Little Mermaid's mutant hermit crab, almost killed by a Little Red Riding Hood.
Red seemed to sink into her seat.
We killed the Jabberwocky.
It's dead? Henry asked, bewildered. Granny Relda nodded.
What else? Oh, I was turned into a frog and was almost eaten by Baba Yaga. We were attacked by a 6-story giant robot in Times Square, nearly killed by Titania, Queen of the Fairies, sucked into a time vortex, nearly barbecued by dragons from the future, almost sliced and diced by the Sheriff of Nottingham, and just about had our heads chopped off by the Queen of Hearts and Bluebeard. I'm sure there's more, but that's right off the top of my head. Oh, I was taken over by the insane, rabid spirit of the Big Bad Wolf, too.
That about covers it, Uncle Jake said sheepishly.
Go ahead, Jake. Make a joke out of it, like you always do, Henry said.
Mom protected them every step of the way. I've been here for most of it, too, Jake said.
Elvis let out a low growl.
The dog wants to remind everyone of his contributions, Goldilocks said.
Daphne hugged the big dog.
We all know you're our real hero,
Elvis barked.
He says heroes deserve sausages.
Don't even think about it, Sabrina said to the hound. Elvis plus sausages equaled a noxious smell.
Let's not forget me, Puck said. I've been pulling this family from the jaws of death on a daily basis and haven't seen a dime for my troubles.
Henry scowled. If you don't mind, we're having a family discussion. Who are you anyway? Peter Pan?
Henry, Granny cried. No!
I am not Peter Pan!
Puck bellowed as smoke blasted out of his nostrils. A moment later, the top of the family car rocketed into the atmosphere, turning the old jalopy into a very crude convertible. No one was hurt, but the outburst launched a massive, many-sided argument. Granny argued with Veronica. Henry shouted at Puck. The three bears roared and snapped at one another. Puck bellowed at everyone. The air was heavy with angry words bouncing around violently from one person to the next. All Sabrina could do was watch quietly and hope everyone didn't turn on her. When a hand slipped into hers and gave it a quick squeeze, Sabrina was elated. Finally, she and her sister were getting back to normal. But when she looked down, she realized she was actually holding Red Riding Hood's hand. The little girl was trembling in fright from all the shouting. Sabrina quickly pulled her hand away. Red seemed hurt but didn't say a word. As the argument hit a fever pitch, Granny Relda inserted two fingers into her mouth and blasted a high-pitched whistle that rattled Sabrina's brain. When everyone was quiet, she turned her attention to Uncle Jake.
Jacob, why in heavens are you driving so fast?
Sabrina eyed the car's ancient speedometer. The red needle was pushing 110, and the engine was rattling and screeching worse than usual.
Because we have a major problem, Jake cried.
What are you talking about? Henry asked.
Well, Big Brother, before you insulted the boy fairy, everything was fine, but you had to go and make him angry, and he blew the roof off the car.
So, the integrity of the interior has been compromised, he shouted over the wind.
In English, please, Veronica said.
The inside of the car was enchanted to fit all of you in it. Now the inside is also the outside, Jake said, as he reached into his pocket and took out the little wooden box that held the powder he had used to cast the spell on the car.
So?
Granny asked. So the universe now has two choices. The exterior, which is the whole world, gets bigger to match the spell, which would be very, very bad. I'm talking earthquakes, tsunamis, insane weather. Real bad stuff.
Then what's the other choice?
Goldilocks asked. The interior of the car is going to shrink back to normal, which means it's going to get cramped in here fast. Sabrina looked around at all the people and animals in the car. There were almost a dozen passengers in the car, three of them weighing in the area of 800 pounds.
How fast?
Suddenly, there was a pop, followed by a loud hissing sound, as if someone had just stuck a balloon and let the air out. Before Sabrina knew what was happening, she was pushed roughly to the center of her seat. She was practically sitting in her mother's lap.
Very fast!
Uncle Jake floored the gas and tore down the narrow country road. The car shook and quaked, pistons screamed and gears screeched. With every mile added to the car's odometer, the interior got smaller. The passengers were squeezed closer and closer to one another. Worse, Sabrina realized she was sitting next to Puck, who was now hip to hip with her. She noticed he had mud and several plump, slippery earthworms in his hair.
You need to go faster!
Henry shouted over the wind that beat against everyone's faces. Veronica had moved onto his lap, and Granny seemed destined for it too.
Don't tell me how to drive, Uncle Jake said.
I'll tell you how to drive if you're driving like an old woman,
Henry snapped.
You want to drive? 'Cause I can pull over and you can show me how it's done,
Uncle Jake replied.
They sound like you two,
Puck said to Sabrina and Daphne. Both of the girls glared at him. The shrinking increased dramatically, and Sabrina found Puck's nose just an inch from her own. The car door was pushing him closer, while Red and Daphne were shoving her from the other side. If the interior shrank again, they would most certainly be pushed even closer together. Accidents could happen. Accidents with lips.
I hope you brushed this morning, piggy, Puck said with a smile.
He closed his eyes and puckered up for a kiss.
Uncle Jake, drive faster,
Sabrina begged. Looking offended, Puck scampered to his feet, using Sabrina's head as a crutch.
Fine, I'm out of here,
Puck snarled as his pink fairy wings popped out of his back. He leaped into the air and allowed it to sweep him high above the car. Sabrina was relieved, but not for long. When the inside of the car shrank again, she found her face buried in Papa Bear's hairy armpit. Uncle Jake didn't wait for the driveway. He pulled up right into the front yard, barreling through shrubbery and slamming on the brakes inches from Granny Relda's front porch. It couldn't have happened a moment too soon, as people started literally spilling out of the top of the car. Baby Bear toppled out and fell onto the ground with Goldilocks. Elvis jumped out and scurried under a bush. When Uncle Jake opened his door, he fell out with Veronica and Granny Relda. Sabrina glanced around and was startled to see Daphne was nowhere to be found.
Daphne! She cried. She must have fallen out.
Mama Bear grunted and got out of her seat. There, beneath her, was Daphne, safe, but a little mashed.
I have never needed a bath so much in my entire life, the little girl groaned.
This is exactly what I'm talking about, Henry said. We all could have been hurt because of magic.
Uncle Jake rolled his eyes and helped everyone onto the porch. Once there, Granny went to work on unlocking the door. There were a dozen locks of all shapes and sizes keeping the house safe. When they were all open, she knocked on the front door and said,
We're home.
The words deactivated a magical lock that few knew was there. It was only then that the front door could be opened. Veronica, take the girls upstairs and help them pack. Don't let them bring anything that can cast a spell. You know what to look for. Henry said as he picked up the phone. I'm going to call everyone we know in New York City and let them know we're on our way.
Henry, don't you think this is something we should discuss? Veronica asked.
Sabrina watched her father shoot her mother an angry look. She threw up her hands in frustration. Come on, girls. They climbed the stairs to the girls' bedroom and went inside. Veronica closed the door behind them and sat down on the bed as if she was exhausted. A moment later, she snatched the girls and hugged them. Sabrina felt one of her mother's tears drip down onto her hand.
Don't cry, Sabrina said. I can't help it. I can't believe how long we've been apart. You must have been so frightened.
Veronica cupped Sabrina's face in her hands.
You did a good job looking after your sister.
Their words fell into Sabrina's belly and opened up into a million happy butterflies. She had tried so hard. Hearing her mother's words was like a lifetime of birthday presents rolled into one. Veronica looked at them both closely.
And you've both gotten so pretty. My little girls, where did they go?
We're still here, Daphne said. We're just bigger versions.
Veronica laughed.
Mom, you have to talk to Dad. We can't go back to the city, Daphne said, her tone suddenly serious. We're needed here in Fairyport Landing.
Needed? Veronica replied.
Absolutely, the little girl cried. There's a lot of crazy shenanigans going on in this town, and Granny needs help keeping the peace. There's a bunch of bad guys called the Scarlet Hand running around, tormenting everyone, and it seems like every time we turn around, someone is on the verge of destroying the world. We can't go.
Daphne, you don't understand. Your father has a lot of bad memories about Fairyport Landing. We should start packing.
Sabrina pulled two tiny suitcases out from under the bed. They were the same suitcases she and her sister had brought when they arrived in Fairyport Landing, though back then all they had in them were a couple of T-shirts and a pair of socks they took turns wearing. She turned to the dresser where they kept their clothes, and she noticed her sister's angry expression.
Happy?
Daphne asked.
Daphne, I'm not surprised. Sabrina has hated living here since the first day. If she wants to go back, fine. But I want to stay here with Granny Relda. I want to take on the family business. I want to be a fairy tale detective. Besides, who would look after Elvis and Puck? And Red Riding Hood is going to need help getting adjusted.
Veronica shook her head.
Your father and I have argued on many things, from the color of paint in the bathroom to where we would send you to school. But this is one issue he won't bend on. I don't like it, and I'll do what I can, but I wouldn't get your hopes up. Daphne, if you are so eager to work with Ever Afters, I wouldn't worry too much. You might be surprised by what you'll uncover in the Big Apple.
Mom, we know about the fairy, Daphne said.
You do?
And about what you do for them, Sabrina said.
We went back to the city with Granny. We met Oberon and Titania. We've been to the Golden Egg and talked to Scrooge. We know all about you and the Ever After community there.
Girls, I'd appreciate if you kept my secret life a secret, Veronica said.
Your dad doesn't know about any of it.
Henry appeared in the doorway. There's a train in half an hour. I want to be on it. Veronica nodded. Get those suitcases packed, girls, he ordered.
Sabrina was a bit surprised by her father's tone. She remembered him being so easygoing and happy.
Still, the girls did as they were told, even Daphne. And with their mother's help, they brought everything they owned downstairs and left it near the front door. Granny Relda and Uncle Jake were waiting for them. Henry was looking over a series of phone numbers he had scrawled on a piece of paper. Puck was lounging on the couch using his belly as a conga drum. Red Riding Hood was sitting in a dark corner. The Three Bears were sitting at the dining room table, munching on a huge watermelon. Goldilocks was busy rearranging the rest of the bookshelves, and Elvis was lying on the floor, head resting on his paws, and moaning sadly.
Where are we going to go? Veronica asked her husband.
Don't worry, we'll be fine, Henry said, ignoring her question.
Can someone give us a ride to the train station, or should I call a taxi?
Henry, be reasonable. You can stay here,
Granny Relda pleaded. Henry shook his head. Mom, I can't.
Granny extended her arms for a hug. The girls rushed to the old woman and hugged her with all their might.
Lieblings, my heart will be empty until I see you again. Look after yourselves, and remember, you need one another. Try not to fight. You make a great team when you put your heads together.
Daphne leaned down and kissed Elvis on the snout. He barked.
He says he'll miss you, Goldilocks explained.
Puck stopped his drumming for a brief moment and grinned at Sabrina.
I hear they have a lot of plastic surgeons in New York City. If I were you, I'd make an appointment for that face as soon as you get there, he quipped.
Sabrina scowled and shook a fist at him.
Keep it up, stinkpot, and you're going to need a plastic surgeon yourself.
Puck winked. No need to get all mushy on me, Grim.
Henry snatched up the girls' suitcases and stepped out the door. They followed but were quickly halted in their tracks. Sabrina was shocked to find the entire house surrounded by people. Well, people didn't exactly describe them all. Scattered through the crowd were cyclops, ogres, stone golems, witches, warlocks, toy soldiers, an enormous walking nutcracker, and trolls. At the front of the crowd was Mayor Hart, also known as the Queen of Hearts from Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. She had squeezed herself into a gaudy red dress decorated with black silk hearts. Her hair was stacked into a 3-foot beehive, and her makeup looked as if it had been applied by an agitated beaver. In her hand was her ever-present electronic megaphone. Standing next to her was a sour-looking man with long black hair and a goatee. The Sheriff of Nottingham, as he was known, was dressed from head to toe in leather, complete with boots, cape, and gloves. A vicious serpentine dagger hung at his waist, and a grotesque purple scar ran from the tip of his eye to the corner of his mouth. He looked particularly ugly, perhaps from the frozen snarl on his face, or maybe from the frightening mark on his chest, a blood-red handprint. The mark was emblazoned on the chests of the entire crowd.
"Well, as I live and breathe, it's Henry Grimm," the mayor cackled. "How was your nap?"
"Queen, I'm taking my girls, and we're leaving town. We aren't looking for any trouble," Henry said. The queen lifted her megaphone to her mouth.
"Well, Henry, it appears trouble came looking for you."
Granny pushed her way onto the porch.
"Now you listen to me."
"No!"
the mayor bellowed, causing the megaphone to emit a migraine-inducing feedback whine.
"You listen to me, Relda. You and your brood aren't going anywhere until you tell us what the master wants to know."
"What are you talking about?" Uncle Jake said as he stepped onto the porch.
"Tell us the location of the traitors, Grimm, Prince Charming, and the big bad wolf. We know they have fled into the forest together, along with Robin Hood and his merry men. We want to bring them before the master so they can face justice."
"Like that's going to happen?" Daphne snarled.
Nottingham armed a crossbow with a silver arrow and hefted it onto his shoulder. He aimed it at the family.
"Tell us where their camp is, and your family will live through the day. As for tomorrow, well, no promises."
Uncle Jake stepped in front of his mother.
"Sheriff, every time I turn around, your stupid little group is making threats, and every time we make you look like fools. Why don't you save yourself the humiliation and take your band of silly, washed-up misfits and get off our lawn before I..."
There was a whizzing sound in the air, and then Uncle Jake let out a cry and fell to the porch. When Sabrina looked down at him, she saw an arrow stuck in his right shoulder. Blood was leaking out of the wound all over his jacket and onto the porch's old wooden floorboards.
"Perhaps you didn't understand us,"
Nottingham said as he loaded a fresh arrow into his weapon.
Tell us where the camp is now.
Girls, get into the house, Henry shouted, snatching Sabrina and Daphne by the arms and dragging them inside to safety.
Veronica and Granny Relda followed, and Henry dashed back out to drag Uncle Jake into the house. Once inside, he slammed the door behind him just as an arrow crashed into the mailbox.
House, time to lock up,
Granny shouted, and Sabrina heard the tumblers turn on the front door's dozen padlocks. Open windows slammed shut and shutters closed tight. Sabrina caught a faint flash of shimmering blue light outside a window.
Okay, everyone, we're safe here. Nothing can get in now,
Granny said, as she turned to help her wounded son.
Daphne, I need you to run upstairs and grab a bottle of iodine out of the cabinet. It's a red bottle. Sabrina and Puck, run into the laundry room and get the white sheets out of the dryer. Rip them into bandages. Goldilocks and Red, I could use a pot of boiling water.
Everyone rushed to follow Granny's orders, but Sabrina was stunned and frozen.
Sabrina, go!
Granny shouted as she knelt down to her wounded son. Sabrina and Puck raced out of the room and into the pantry where they kept the dryer. She opened the lid and pulled out the fresh, clean sheets, while Puck tore them with zeal.
Nottingham really shot at us, Puck said. I didn't see that coming.
You sound like you're proud of him, Sabrina exclaimed.
Well, as a villain, he has certainly stepped up his game, the fairy boy replied. Still, he loses points for his costume. That's way over the top.
You're hopeless, she muttered,
as she raced back to her family. When she arrived, they were all arguing, and once again, her father was at the center of the dispute.
And this is exactly why we're going back to New York City, her father said, holding his hand tightly against his brother's wound.
Henry, not now, Veronica begged. I've got the sheets, Sabrina said, hoping it would change the subject.
Granny reached for them and started wrapping Jake's wound. While she was working, Daphne returned with the iodine. She gave it to the old woman and stepped back, looking shocked and scared.
We have to get the arrow out of my arm, Mom, Uncle Jake said.
Goldilocks immediately herded the children together.
Children, I could really use everyone's help in the kitchen.
Puck stomped his foot.
No way! I've shot a few people in my day, but I've never seen an arrow come out. This is the opportunity of a lifetime.
Suit yourself, Goldilocks said,
and she led Sabrina, Daphne, Red, and Baby Bear into the kitchen. Once there, she nervously searched the cabinets and refrigerator.
What are you looking for? Sabrina asked. Cocoa, the woman said. Everything is better with cocoa. Oh, these cabinets. How do you find anything?
Daphne opened a drawer and took out a box of cocoa, and Goldilocks started making some for the children.
Why are those people attacking us?
Red Riding Hood asked.
They want us to tell them we're charming and Mr. Canis have gone, Sabrina said.
Baby Bear growled.
Junior wants to know why someone doesn't just tell them then, Goldilocks said. Because they're our friends. Besides, we couldn't if we wanted to, Daphne said. We don't know where they are.
There was a loud, horrible cry from the living room. Someone must have pulled the arrow from Jake's shoulder. Sabrina turned to her sister. Daphne's face was pale.
He'll be fine,
Goldilocks assured the children as she started rearranging the silverware drawer.
Puck rushed into the kitchen. He looked as if he had just gotten off a roller coaster. That was awesome! He cried. The arrow coming out is totally more fun to watch than the arrow going in.
Henry and Granny Relda joined them in the kitchen.
We need to get him to a hospital, Henry said. That's an open wound. He's going to need stitches and antibiotics. It could get infected if it's not cleaned properly.
Granny Relda shook her head.
The hospital is deserted. All the doctors for human, and may a heart ran them out of town.
We have to find someone with some medical training, Henry said, as he took a glass from the cupboard.
He turned the faucet on to fill it, but nothing came out but a couple of brown drops. They've turned off the pipes. Suddenly, the lights in the house went out.
And the lights, Sabrina added.
Nothing to worry about, folks, Puck said. I'll run up and get my sword. Once they see that I'm armed, I'm sure those losers will run for the hills.
I don't think fighting our way out is the answer, Puck, Granny said.
It always has been before, Puck grumbled.
What do you have in mind? Sabrina asked. Let's go ask the man with the answers, Granny said.
She led everyone back into the living room, where Jake lay unconscious on the sofa. His arm was wrapped in the bandages Sabrina and Puck had made, but a small circular dot of red had appeared through the fabric and was growing rapidly. Sabrina's father lifted his brother and eased him onto Papa Bear's back. Then everyone marched up the steps and into Mirror's room. Once inside, his foreboding face appeared in the glass.
This place is starting to resemble Grand Central Station, Relda, Mirror said.
You haven't seen half of the guests, Granny Relda said. The Scarlet Hand has surrounded the house.
Well, that's not going to help the property values, Mirror said. Jake, he's injured.
We need to get him to a doctor, Henry said. And then we need to get out of this town. Mirror, we need the slippers.
Which slippers are you referring to, Hank?
Dorothy's slippers, Henry said. Three clicks and we can teleport ourselves to safety.
Sorry, Hankster, Mirror said. The girls lost one of the slippers a while back.
You lost the slippers? Hank cried, glaring at the girls.
A giant was chasing us, Sabrina said defensively. A big giant, Daphne added.
Fine. How about the Gnome King's belt? Henry said, turning his attention back to Mirror. It'll do the same thing.
Well, the girls tried that out about a month ago, and they ran down the batteries. If you have 46 size Ds, then we're back in business, Mirror replied.
Henry frowned at the girls. Sabrina shrugged.
Yeah, we've been meaning to take care of that.
Henry sighed. For once, I'm turning to magic and there's nothing available. What have we got that will zap us out of this house?
Well, as for zapping, we've got nothing, Granny Relda said. But there is a way out of the house.
There is?
Sabrina and Daphne asked.
Granny reached into her handbag and took out her set of keys. Yes. We need to go to the Room of Reflections.
Granny stepped through the mirror and vanished. Henry and Veronica followed, then Red, Daphne, Sabrina, and Puck. Elvis was next. The three bears growled nervously, but Goldilocks growled back something that seemed to calm their nerves. A moment later, Papa Bear was carrying Uncle Jake through.
Sabrina never got used to the vastness of the room hidden on the other side of the mirror's reflection. The ceiling was held aloft by marble columns, taller and thicker than redwood trees. The hallway itself was as wide as Grand Central Station in Manhattan, and was framed by hundreds of doors on either side. The doors were made from a countless variety of materials. Some were wood, others steel and stone, and Sabrina had seen some constructed of crystal, fire, ice, a waterfall, and even something Granny called protoplasm. All of the doors were adorned with brass plaques that explained the contents of the room on the other side.
How come we've never heard of this Room of Reflections? Daphne asked her grandmother.
Because we don't use it very often, and it's not exactly within walking distance, the old woman replied. It's at the other end of the hall.
This piqued Sabrina's curiosity. She had often wondered what was at the end of the Hall of Wonders. She had tried to walk there once, but after several hours, she still couldn't see the end. She'd started to imagine that the hall went on forever. Granny handed Mirror her set of keys.
I think we're going to need the trolley car.
Mirror nodded and stepped through a set of double doors to his immediate right. A moment later, Sabrina heard an engine roar and a brass bell ring. Then an old-fashioned trolley car pulled out and stopped in front of the group. Sabrina had seen similar-looking trolleys on television. They were all the rage in San Francisco. Mirror was sitting in the driver's seat, wearing a short green jacket, a black cap, and a money changer attached to his belt.
He rang a polished brass bell and shouted, "All aboard!"
The girls climbed up while Henry helped Uncle Jake and the others get settled. Henry had the unfortunate task of helping Mama Bear onto the trolley. He shoved and pushed, and inch by inch, she climbed aboard. Puck found the whole spectacle hilarious. Every time Henry pushed on Mama Bear's oversized rump, Puck made a farting sound. Puck laughed until tears rolled down his cheeks, leaving tracks on his grimy face. Mirror rang the bell one final time and shouted, "Here we go!" The trolley zipped down the hall, gaining speed rapidly.
"I've always wanted to know what was at the end of the hall," Daphne said.
"I remember when your father and Jacob walked it," Granny Relda said. "We didn't have the trolley back then, so they brought a tent and sleeping bags."
Henry grunted.
"What's wrong?" Sabrina asked.
"Jacob forgot to pack food. We walked almost the whole day before we noticed and had to turn around. We never did go back."
Mirror turned in his seat and addressed the passengers.
"Folks, at this rate, we won't get there until Thursday. So I'm going to put the pedal to the metal, as they say. So keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times. Hold on to your seats, sit back, and enjoy the ride."
The trolley lurched forward. Sabrina felt the skin on her face pull back as the hallway flew by. They were going so fast, everything around them turned into a blur of color and light. It was terrifying. However, Puck seemed to be having the time of his life.
"Faster!" he shouted. "It's not fun until someone wets their pants."
When the trolley slowed and the world came back into focus, Sabrina realized she had held her breath the whole way. She peered out at the unfamiliar length of hallway. The doors at this end were even more bizarre than the ones she had already seen. One looked as if it was made of a whirling blue gas with several ancient skeletons suspended in it. Another appeared to be the mouth of a huge monster with gnashing teeth and a horrible forked tongue. Another door was constructed from the gigantic bones of a prehistoric animal. When Mirror brought the trolley to a complete stop, Sabrina stepped off, feeling lightheaded. She held on to the side of the trolley until she felt better. It seemed that everyone else in the group felt the same way, except for Puck, who begged Mirror for another ride. Once her head stopped spinning, Sabrina studied her surroundings. A massive wall, much like the one at their end of the hall, stood before them. She didn't see a magical portal that led into the real world, though. Just a single door made from a rough stone slab. Hieroglyphics and intricate symbols were chiseled into its surface. Sabrina had no idea what any of it meant, but the biggest of the symbols gave her a creepy feeling. It was a large, sculpted eye, gazing down on everyone. It moved like a real eye, and studied each person intently.
Creepy? Daphne said, as she watched the eye move up and down the length of her body.
Unlike the other doors in the Hall of Wonders, the big stone door did not have a lock on it. Mirror pushed it open and led everyone inside to a circular room draped in black curtains. The floor was made of a spotless, varnished pine. 25 full-length mirrors were placed an equal distance from one another against the room's walls. Sabrina understood why it was called the Room of Reflections.
"Are these magic mirrors?" Veronica asked, running her hand along one's surface.
The tips of her fingers disappeared in the glass, and the image rippled like the surface of a pond.
"Oh, they are, aren't they?"
"Not exactly," Mirror said. "The best way to describe them is to think of them as back doors into the 25 magic mirrors created by Bunny Lancaster, also known as the Wicked Queen."
"Are you saying that we can go into all 25 magic mirrors from this room?" Goldilocks asked. "We can step right into their halls of wonders?"
Mirror shook his head and looked slightly offended.
"There is only one Hall of Wonders. Each mirror is unique, designed specifically by the Wicked Queen for the people who purchased them. Each mirror also comes equipped with its unique guardian. I am the guardian of the Hall of Wonders."
"So,
If we step through one of these portals, we can go into someone else's magic mirror? Veronica asked. And then we can step through its portal into the real world, Granny explained.
Bunny created this room as a fail-safe in the case of a malfunctioning mirror or guardian. If one needed fixing, she could simply step in through this back door and make repairs. She chose this mirror, my mirror, to be the hub, the only place where you can go to all 25, making me all the more unique, Mirror said proudly.
Gravy,
Daphne cried as she rushed to the closest mirror. I'm going to go into this one.
Before she could jump into the reflection, Granny Relda yanked her back.
Liebling, no!
She pointed to a sign hanging at the bottom of the mirror that read, Out of Service.
You can't just jump into these things. Some of them don't work.
She's right, Jitterbug, Mirror said, pointing to a few others with the same sign. 13 of the mirrors have been broken beyond repair. 2 more are buried beneath the earth, and who knows what's crawled into them. Another is filled with a poisonous gas, and yet another is, from what I can tell, at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. 2 others have been shattered. If you were to step into them, you would be cut to ribbons. In my free time, I've been removing the shards so that no one can get hurt. If there is a sign below it that reads out of service, then they are off limits.
Sabrina did the math in her head.
That leaves 6 magic mirrors that are still working.
Do you think one of these will lead us to a doctor? Henry said impatiently.
If we pick the right one, and we're lucky, Granny said, as she turned to Sabrina and Daphne. And that's where you two come in. Us? Yes. I think it would be unwise to just step into one of these mirrors, especially since we don't know who owns them, what kind of guardian might be inside, or where they might lead. You two have been in one, though, and know the guardian quite well. The Hotel of Wonders, Daphne exclaimed. We were in it right after we got back from the future. You girls are the only people I know that have ever been inside another magic mirror, Granny said. Do you think you can find the right mirror? Sure, Daphne said.
The girls went from one portal to the next. The first 2 were shattered and cracked. Another reflected nothing back at them. One revealed a medieval torture chamber, complete with a stretching rack and a bubbling cauldron of what looked like tar. Another mirror showed an old-fashioned ice cream parlor, and yet another revealed a huge warehouse filled with thousands of crates and boxes. In one, Sabrina saw a tacky nightclub with a disco ball and a guardian in a polyester suit and gold chains. Finally, Sabrina spotted a breathtaking sunset and swaying palm trees. She knew they had found the hotel.
Not so fast, Henry said, stepping toward the mirror. I'll go first.
Dad, it's perfectly safe, Daphne said. Max is the guardian. He's very nice.
Henry ignored Daphne as if she were babbling. It was the second time he had discounted her opinion, and Sabrina noticed her frustration. Henry took a step into the mirror then, half in and half out, turned back to his family. Stay here. I'll let you know when it's safe. A second later, he was gone.
So, you want to explain this trip into the future? Veronica asked. It was so cool, Mom, Daphne said, shaking off her humiliation. We met ourselves. Sabrina was married. Daphne! Sabrina cried.
No one knew the complete truth about what the girls had seen in the future. Her marriage, and most importantly, the identity of her husband, were supposed to be carefully guarded secrets. If Puck ever found out.
Married? Puck laughed. Who would marry you? He must be blind and lack a sense of smell.
Sabrina's fists clenched. She had never had a chance to ask her older self what she saw in the smelly, annoying fairy. Though she had to admit, Puck's grown-up version was very cute. Still, how did she get over all the insults, pranks, and mean-spirited jokes? Maybe there weren't any other men in the future. That could be the only explanation. Just then, Henry's face appeared in the hotel's portal.
Coast is clear. Everyone piled through the portal, and Sabrina found herself standing at the front desk of a very chic hotel. The floor was polished marble with beautiful Persian rugs scattered about. The walls were covered in tasteful contemporary art. Everything sparkled under the grand crystal chandelier. A bank of floor-to-ceiling windows revealed a tropical scene that looked as if it had been stolen from a postcard. Sabrina wondered if the beach was really there, or if it was just a magical illusion. Just then, a short Asian man in a Hawaiian shirt and lei appeared. He was carrying more leis in his arms and placed one around everybody's neck, except for the bears, who were far too big and tall for the little man to reach. "Aloha!" he cried.
"Aloha, Max," Daphne said.
"Sabrina, Daphne, welcome back to the Hotel of Wonders. I wasn't aware you'd be visiting us. No worries, you never need reservations. Are you here on business or pleasure?"
"Neither," Sabrina said. "In fact, we're in the midst of an emergency."
"From what I understand, emergencies happen quite frequently to you and your family," Max said with a knowing grin. "Can I be of any help?"
"We want to use the main portal, the one that leads to the real world."
Max nodded.
"Oh, so you slipped in the back way. Interesting. Of course you can use the portal. This way," he said, leading everyone through the hotel lobby. "The boss has been using the portal a lot lately. He's pretty busy with his camp. I explained that he could have all the refugees stay here with room to spare, but he said he didn't want the riffraff to sully the sheets."
"What does riffraff mean?" Daphne asked.
Sabrina opened her mouth to explain, but remembered the girl's reaction the last time she had tried to define a word. Instead, she decided to let someone else be the dictionary for a change.
"Riffraff is a mean word for people who are of a lower class," Veronica explained. "It's not a very nice thing to say." "Max, you said something about refugees?" Goldilocks asked.
"Yes, those terrorized by the Scarlet Hand," Max explained. "Prince Charming has offered them sanctuary in his camp. It's gotten to be quite a large population."
"Wait a minute," Henry cried. "This mirror belongs to Prince Charming? This is going to take us to his camp? This plan is insane. Have you forgotten that he has threatened to destroy our family? He and Dad couldn't have been bigger enemies. Charming said he would bulldoze our house."
"I can't promise he won't someday," Granny said as she wiped Uncle Jake's brow with a damp cloth. "But now he's the closest thing the Grimm family has to an ally, and Mr. Canis has learned to trust him. We'll be fine."
"Mr. Canis is there too?"
Red Riding Hood whimpered. Granny took her hand.
"He won't hurt you, child."
Max pushed a button on a bank of elevators, and the doors slid open, revealing the portal to the outside world.
"Hey, there's Charming now,"
Daphne said, pointing into the portal. Sabrina could see the former mayor and his diminutive assistant, Mr. Seven, in a dimly lit room, propping another full-length mirror against the opposite wall. Seven was one of the world-famous Seven Dwarfs, and despite his boss's frequent insults and humiliations, had been at Charming's side ever since the day Sabrina and Daphne had met him. Sabrina wondered what kept him there now that the prince could no longer afford to pay his salary.
"This is foolish," Henry warned. "Charming can't be trusted."
"It's the best plan we've got," Veronica said.
Granny nodded in agreement, then sent Papa Bear through the portal with Uncle Jake on his back. Everyone else followed. The world on the other side of the portal couldn't be more different from the opulence of the Hotel of Wonders. Sabrina found herself inside a crude log cabin with a dirt floor and a thatched roof. A few chairs were scattered around, and a rough table had a scale model of Ferryport Landing resting on top. Charming and Seven, startled by the sudden appearance of visitors, nearly dropped the mirror they were holding.
"Careful now,"
a face cried as it appeared inside the mirror. He had dark skin and long, untamed dreadlocks.
"Are you people touched in the head?"
the prince bellowed.
"I am hanging a magic mirror. Do you have any idea what would happen if I dropped this?"
Let's try not to tink on it, my friend, the man in the mirror said in a thick accent that sounded as if its origins were Caribbean. I'll have nightmares.
You can relax, Reggie, Charming said. You are perfectly safe.
"'Tis a good thing, man,' Reggie said, and then disappeared.
Charming and Seven set the mirror safely against the wall.
"'Relda, is there more of this rabble out there, or is it safe to say you've brought the entire town?'
"'My son is injured, William. He was shot by one of Nottingham's arrows. He needs help,'
Granny Relda pleaded.
"'Seven, lead the bear with Jacob to the medical tent.' Tell Nurse Spratt to take good care of him, Charming said.
Mr. Seven nodded, and along with Papa Bear raced out of the cabin.
Spratt will send for us when she has treated your boy, Relda, Charming said. In the meantime, I suppose you'd like to take a look at our little community.
He led the group through the door and out into an open courtyard. Sabrina was stunned by what she saw. They were inside a huge fort with walls 25 feet high. The compound was wide enough to fit dozens of cabins, barracks, a mess tent, a makeshift hospital, an armory, and a small farm. Hundreds of ever-afters were busy gardening, working with horses, tilling the land, and building more cabins. Granny looked around in awe.
William, what exactly is this place?
Welcome to Camp Charming, the prince said proudly. The Ever-Afters' last stand against the Scarlet Hand.